Okay, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just praise you and I glorify you, Father, and I thank you for this time together with my brothers and sisters from all over, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight we're going to be led by your Spirit, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you fill us with your Spirit, Lord. There's more that we want to you than what we have, Lord. There's a whole lot more to you that we want, Lord, and I ask and I pray for it, Father. I want to be close to you. I want to understand the things that are that you have for us, Lord, the revelations and all of the things that you want us to know, Lord, and speak to us and lead us and guide us in those things. I praise you, Father, for bringing our spirit into your spirit and just be one in one accord with you, Lord. That's my prayer tonight, that you do that for all of us. Praise God forevermore. And I thank you, Father, that tonight things will happen that will change people's lives, Lord. And I praise you for that. I thank you, Lord, for these times that we're in, that you would hold us by the hand, lead us by the hand, by the Spirit, Lord, into those places you want us to go. We thank you, Father, that the gifts are in operation in this group. And we praise you, Father, that people are aware and would speak the things that you want them to speak and not what they want to speak, me included. And I praise you, Father, for doing all the work in us that needs to be done between now and the time that we're going to be needing the whole you, Lord. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. We're looking forward, Lord, to the times ahead. We're not looking with anticipation or anxiety. We're looking forward to it in the name of Jesus. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do in and through us tonight. Amen. All right. I got something I want to share tonight after we do the prayer part. Does anybody need prayer? Or want to pray about something? Ooh, everybody's prayed up. Glory to God. That's awesome. Go ahead, Pat. All but Pat.
Well, I'll start the prime the pump here. You know.
All right, good.
Everybody else, because I can always use prayer. So I just want to say that the Lord is doing some things in my life and my family's life. And he has shown me, he's had me in Revelation in Church of, I think, Thyatira. Reading the scriptures related to Jezebel, and I think it was the, you know, the paper that we did here a few weeks ago and a couple weeks ago that kind of started me off on that in that area, was really speaking to me. So I just wanted to praise the Lord for blazing ahead, showing me, opening up my eyes, see the depths and the intricacies, I guess you might say, of that, the deceptive power of that spirit. And that it is defeated. And, we have the victory. We have the authority. And so I just want to it's just to reinforce that, just to claim that in my my family and the rest of our families, where this spirit is fed by many other spirits, spirits of rejection and spirits of anger and self-control and all fear is the major stronghold that supports a Jezebel spirit. And that spirit can affect men or women. It can affect men or women. It has no gender. The scripture obviously calls it female. You know, Jezebel and the examples in the Old Testament of Jezebel was a woman, etc. But the base controlling effects or the spirit of control that is used there obviously has no gender. But anyway, I just want to praise the Lord for what he's doing, the wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit that he has given us all to, and just all of the supporting teaching and scriptures that have been brought up by David and Michael in the last 2 or 3 weeks, and the angels that have led us and guided us through these last few weeks into praise and worship. And Father, I just thank you for the work that you're doing in us. Thank you that you are bringing us out of the dark ages and setting us free to walk in the freedom of your life. And we thank you for it, Father. We just ask tonight that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, fill us with your wisdom, your understanding, in order to apply your word and stand upon your word. And thank you for your word, Lord. We praise you and we lift you up. We thank you that you are performing a great work within each and every one of us, Lord, lifting us up out of the depths. And we thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Spirit, put your Holy Spirit in us, and are guiding us down that path to Zion. And we thank you for that. Lord, I just thank you especially for the breakthroughs that you are planning and that you are taking me and my family through, that you are tearing down the strongholds. You are bringing forth light into the darkness. You're shattering illusions and bringing us forth and through into the reality of where we're at right now in history and what you're doing and where you're taking us, Lord. We just embrace your spirit and your truth, even through this wilderness that you're bringing us into, Lord. What a grand plan to bring the fear of the Lord into reality through this coming tribulation, this coming wilderness that we're going in through. And Father, we thank you that you are our supply and that you are our healer, that your words lift us up and keep us on the path, and that you give us the strength to walk even through the darkness, and that the shadows turn to light, and that your overcoming power brings forth a shattering of the fears that the devil would throw in our way, and that you bring us through into victory and into a place of resting in trust in you. And we thank you for it. Thank you for your provision and your salvation. I just bless my brothers and sisters tonight, Lord, that you would open up our hearts, draw us into your kingdom, draw us into your presence, and come and be with us, Lord. And bless us with your presence, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, I receive it in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Isaac.
Hey, everybody. Hey, so I got a, man, I got, I feel like I got a lot of prayer requests, really. So I'll just pray them. Well, I'll tell you them first and then I'll pray them. That way they don't have to worry about remembering them. So the, one, I start my new job Monday and I really want to go in there and do my best. And I want to work unto the Lord. And this is going to sound terrible, what I want to, what I'm going to say, but you, Michael, you get it. I know you do because, you know, quite a few of you guys probably do too, but when you're, it's hard to keep staying up to date with technology and sometimes it's mentally exhausting. And you know, and it's kind of like I told somebody the other day, I said, you know, we're talking about work. And I said, you know, as far as work, I'm kind of tired of learning. I just want to do my job and go home. And that's probably not the right attitude, but you get it. I know you have to get it. So, so anyways, long story short, I want to cast that down. I want to do my best. Yeah, Michael, this is a whole nother different PLC I'm learning now. It's Mitsubishi, no more Allen Bradley's. And I've never touched Mitsubishi. It's Mitsubishi HMIs, PLCs, servo controllers, robots. Man, I got a lot to learn. So that's one prayer. The second thing that I'm going to pray about, if y'all can agree, is my AC unit back in Florida started giving me issues. And I had somebody go out there today, and I already kind of diagnosed it. It was either my condenser fan wasn't running, so it was either the capacitor or the motor's going bad, the bearings. And I turned the fan blade. I already knew the bearings going bad, but I thought I had some life in it. Well, long story short, it looks like it's a done deal. And the guy went out there, didn't have the motor. They don't have one on hand. Don't know where to get one. And I kind of need this done. And so, and I don't want them to price gouge me. So I'm going to pray about that.
Hey, Isaac, can you get him to rewind it?
Well, it's the bearing. It's, you know, I mean, the windings ain't open. It's still, because if you spin it, it will take off. It just can't overcome initially because the bearings are so poor. Man, I thought about just taking some WD-40 out there, right? That and duct tape. That's all you'll ever need. And so, so anyways, I'm going to pray about those things. And then I'm going to say something else. Lord, You know my needs, Father, you know our family's needs, you know our needs. And Lord, in your total control, I just know, you know, you didn't get us this far with the house, the contract and all that for it to be null and void because it's already done. And Lord, thank you, Father, that there won't be any, setbacks, that this will all work out and better than I imagine, just like you did with my AC unit here in the Freon. And Lord, also, thank you, Father, for giving me that desire to want to get in there and work hard and do a good job, but also blessing me with the ability to leave work at work and then, come home and spend time with the family. And more than any of that is to know you more, Lord. Give me that desire of love for your word. Lord, I don't ever want to lose that. Lord, I want it more than I have it now. And Lord, you know my heart, you know my prayers, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Okay. And the next thing, you know what? I think I'll just leave it at that. You know, Michael, I got a prayer and a testimony. You know, Michael, you got a, you told us about your hearing, you know, and David told me about it. And so I prayed, my back's been giving me issues. And if I bend over the wrong way, and this is in the past now, this ain't no more. But if I was to go the wrong way, I couldn't so much as stand, sit, or lay down at days at a time. And I don't know what happened. Anyways, well, I was talking to David on the phone, and I asked him to pray. And Michael, you were there, and you prayed with me. And I woke up, and I ain't never felt so good. And I really mean it. My back felt so good. And you know, here's what's really, you know, incredible about it is when y'all were praying with me, you know, I wish I had this expectation that I had last night. Cause I just really had this expectation, man, this is going to be done. Like I just knew it. I mean, Michael, I don't know why I felt it. I just felt it. You get it. Anyways, man, I did some carpentry work today. Built some stuff and I was bending over picking. I mean, I felt great. And so I'm real thankful about that. That's a testimony. So I was going to ask you, Mariana has always had little, and she's here with me. She always had some. Her ear gives her problems at times where she can't hear that great out of it. And Michael, would you mind praying about that? And we're going to believe I'll lay my hand on her and we're just going to know it's going to be better.
Okay. Is she having trouble hearing out of it?
Every once in a while, it's like, I know I have been healed, you know.
I can't understand her, Isaac.
Sorry. Is this better? I said every once in a while, my hearing seems
I can't
better.
Hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can.
It must be our computer. It's something about the mic. Anyways, yeah, she's saying that she can hear sometimes, you know, pretty good. And then sometimes she just has, it's real hard for her. And I've noticed, you know, I'll have to like holler at her, get her attention. You know, she responds real well to rebukes. I'm just joking. So,
goodness.
That was not right. So anyways, yeah. So, I just want to cast this thing out, believe it. And that same expectation I had last night, I feel it again. So let's go for it. Okay. If you wouldn't mind.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Mariana to you. We thank you, Lord, for her heart and her faith and Isaac's faith. In the name of Jesus, right now, I command that deaf spirit to go out of her ear. Now, right now, this moment, you leave her and don't come back. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for great hearing out of that ear. From this point on, nothing will hinder her hearing. In the name that's above every name, and that's the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father. It is done. Does everybody believe that?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory Hallelujah. To God. It is done. Praise God.
Man, forever. I felt the Holy Spirit. Ooh, I really, my, that's my, amazing. My.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God. Amen. We prayed for a lady today. We went over to an apartment building that Leon wanted us to pray for. She had Crohn's disease and I don't know, half a dozen other things. We went out of there. The Holy Spirit got a hold of her. My goodness gracious sakes alive. She completely healed. See, they've given up on her. Actually, she completely healed, this young lady of about 70 or so. Thank you, Father. Lord, you are so good. You are so good, Father. We praise you for that. Yeah, David or Lena.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, bud.
Oh, man. My excited. Lord has been good. I got so much I could share. I could probably share till 9 o'clock. I'll break it down so I won't take up too much time. Man, something's happening and I am excited for it. I am so excited for it. The guy I work with, he asks questions and I'm saying things that I never thought I'd ever say in my life. And just the truth keeps coming out and I'm like, wow, Lord, just take control. Whatever's happening. There's something coming in and it just makes me so excited to know that it's actually right there. It's so close. And, there was another thing Lord showed me. I'd get attacks. And of course, attacks come against our will because we don't want to be attacked. We want to be joyful all day, but attacks were coming and I kept casting them down. And I was like, Lord, how do I make these stop? Because I cast down one attack, another one comes. Cast down one thought, another thought comes. I'm like, Lord, how do I make this stop? And he showed me. He's like, rebuke it. Rebuke Satan himself. And I'm like, and these attacks were coming. I was like, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. and it was like the wind, it was gone. And such peace came over me, and I was just rejoicing. I was so happy, and man, praise the Lord.
Amen, Brother David. That's right. You rebuke Satan, he got to go. My. God is on the move, folks. And I want to encourage you tonight with a little story from many years ago. Y'all ready? Okay. This is from one of my favorite old time evangelists, healing evangelist, John G. Lake. This is the story. I've told it before. I've never read it, but I've told it before. But I want you to kind of get what he's saying here and how he came about this baptism in the Holy Spirit and what happened afterwards. Can y'all hear me okay? Okay. Do y'all mind if I read this? Okay, good. Said 8 years had passed after God revealed Jesus the healer to me. I had been practicing the ministry of healing. During that 8 years, every answer to prayer, every miraculous touch of God, every response of my own soul to the Spirit had created within me a more intense longing for an intimacy and consciousness of God, like I felt the disciples of Jesus and the primitive church had possessed. Shortly after my entrance into the ministry of healing, while attending a service where the necessity for the baptism of the Spirit was being presented, as I knelt in prayer and reconsecration to God, an anointing of the Spirit came upon me. Waves of holy glory passed through my being, and I was lifted into a new consciousness of God's presence and power. I ministered for a number of years in the power of this anointing. Answers to prayers were frequent, and miracles of healing occurred from time to time. I felt myself on the borderland of a great spiritual realm and consciousness, but was unable to enter in fully. How many of you experienced that, you know? In fully. So that my nature was not gratified and satisfied with the attainment. Friends told me, you have the baptism of the Spirit. If you did not have it, you could not enjoy such a fruitful ministry as you do. And other statements of this character. Yet the longing in my soul was to me the evidence that there was a better experience than my soul knew. Finally, I was led to set aside certain hours of the day that I dedicated to God as times of meditation and prayer. Thus, a number of months passed until one morning, as I knelt praying, the Spirit of the Lord spoke within my spirit and said, "Be patient until autumn." My heart rejoiced in this encouragement. I continued my practice of meditation and prayer. It became easy to detach my soul from the course of life so that while my hands and mind were engaged in the common affairs of every day, my spirit maintained its attitude of communion with God. Thus, silent prayer became habitual practice. Indeed, it had been to a great extent all my life. In the autumn, I was brought into contact with the minister of the gospel who was preaching a clear message of God and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In my study of the man and his teaching, I was struck with the fact that his interpretation of the Word of God was exceedingly true to what my soul understood as the real spirit of the Word. Through his teaching, I was led into a deeper and clearer consciousness of God's power to keep the heart of man free from the consciousness of sin. Instead of the usual struggle against evil in my inner life, such a consciousness of God's cleansing power in my inner nature became evident, that a joyous, victorious note came into my soul. At this time, in addition to my work as a minister of the gospel, I was engaged as manager of agents for a life insurance company. During the period of which I now speak, I preached practically every night. After our services, I was in the habit of joining a circle of friends who, like myself, were determined to pray through unto God to where we could receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as we believe the early disciples had received it. It was my belief that not only should my spirit ascend into a new consciousness of God's presence, but that the evident and conscious power of God should come upon my life. In my consecration to God, again and again, I said, God, if you will baptize me in the Holy Spirit and give me the power of God, nothing shall be permitted to stand between me and a hundredfold obedience. I continued to meet with these friends almost every night for months. A blessed woman of God who was visiting in our city and was being entertained at my home, observing the anguish of my spirit, said to me one day, come aside, let us pray. As we knelt, she said, as we pray, if God reveals any cause of hindrance to you, why you do not receive the baptism of the Spirit, you will tell me. And if he reveals any cause to me, I will tell you. We prayed, and no hindrance was revealed to either of us. Then she said, we will obey the word of God and practice of the early church. And laying her hands on my head, she prayed God that I might receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A deep calm settled upon me. In the afternoon, a brother minister called and invited me to accompany him to visit a lady who was sick. Arriving at the home, we found a lady in a wheelchair. All her joints were set with inflammatory rheumatism, and she had been in this condition for 10 years. While my friend was conversing with her, preparing her to be prayed with that she might be healed, I sat in a deep chair on the opposite side of the large room. My soul was crying out to God in a yearning too deep for words, when suddenly it seemed to me I had passed under a shower of warm tropical rain, which was not falling upon me, but falling through me. My spirit and soul and body, under this influence, were soothed into such a deep, still calm as I had never known. My brain, which had always been so active, became perfectly still, and all of the presence of God settled over me. I knew it was God. Some moments passed, and I don't know how many. The Spirit said, I have heard your prayers. I have seen your tears. You are now to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. The seeming rain ceased, but oh, it had left such a calm, such a quiet of God upon me as my words cannot tell. Then, currents of power began to rush through my being from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. These shocks of power increased in rapidity and voltage as the currents of power would pass through me. They seemed to come upon my head, rush through my body and through my feet into the floor. This power was so great that my body began to vibrate intensely, so that I believe if I had not been sitting in such a deep, low chair, I might have fallen upon the floor. An overwhelming consciousness of God's presence possessed me. A new rush of power taking hold of my very flesh seemed to come from my feet and move upward. My throat and tongue began to move in a strange manner, and I found that I was unable to speak English. And presently I began to speak in another language, one that I had never learned by the power of the Spirit. For years, I had been a profound student of psychic phenomena and had observed among different bodies of Christian people various manifestations. Sometimes they'd be of the Spirit of God, but other times they were purely psychic. And I prayed, Father, you know that I have witnessed many phases of psychic phenomena. Is this the power of God that is coming through my being, or is it some character of psychic manifestation that the world is not familiar with? Is it real power, or do I just think it's power? Father, I want to know. God answered that heart cry in the following manner. At that instant, I observed my friend was motioning for me to come and join him in prayer for the woman who was sick. In his absorption, he had not observed that anything had taken place in me. And I arose to go to him, but found my body was trembling so violently that I had great difficulty in walking across the room, and especially in controlling the trembling of my hands and arms. And I was familiar with sick people. Having ministered to them for so many years, I knew it would not be wise to thus lay my hands upon a sick woman, as I was likely to jar her. It occurred to me that all that was necessary was to touch the tips of my fingers on the top of the patient's head, and then the vibration would not jar her. This idea. At once, the currents of holy power passed through my being, and I knew that it likewise passed through the one who was sick. She did not speak, but apparently was amazed at the effect in her body. My friend, who had been talking to her in his great earnestness, had been kneeling as if he talked to her. He arose, saying, "Let us pray that the Lord will now heal you." As he did so, he took her by the hand, and at the instant their hands touched, a flash of dynamic power went through my person and through the sick woman. And as my friend held her hand, the shock of power passed through her hand into him. The rush of power into his person was so great that it caused him to fall on the floor. He looked up at me with joy and surprise, and springing to his feet, he said, "Praise the Lord, John. Jesus has baptized you in the Holy Ghost." Then he took the crippled hand that had been sent for so many years. The clenched hands opened and the joints began to work. First the fingers, then the hand and the wrist, the elbows and shoulder, et cetera, et cetera. These were outward manifestations. But oh, who could describe the thrills of joy inexpressible that were passing through my spirit? Who could comprehend the peace and presence of God that filled my soul, the sanctifying power of the Spirit in my very flesh, subduing all my nature unto what I understood was the nature of Christ, the revelation of his will, the unspeakable tenderness that possessed me, a love for mankind such as I had never known, were all born within. Even at this late date, 10 years after that, the awe of that hour rests upon my soul. My spirit experience has truly been, as Jesus said, "He shall be within you a well of water springing up into everlasting life." That never-ceasing fountain has flowed through my spirit, soul, and body day and night, bringing salvation, healing, and the baptism of the Spirit and the power of God to multitudes. Glory to God, glory to God. How many of you want to experience God to that degree? Unless you already have, if you have, somebody talk. You saw how he did it. He did it by running after God with his whole heart, soul, mind, and body. He went after God. Nothing else mattered to him. And that's what God wants. And I'm going to tell you something. It's not going to take you a year to do that. We're in the end times now. It won't take but just a short while. If you show God that you want to surrender everything, I'm talking to Michael too, that you want to surrender everything to him, I guarantee you he'll come into you like he did John G. Lake. Mightier, he'll do it, because he's got a great work for all of us to do. And I believe that with all my heart. And I want to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, just like a lake, we long for that closeness to you, Father, that filling of the Holy Spirit in a way that the love, your love permeates our very heart, soul, mind, and spirit, Lord. That's what I want. I know everybody here wants it too, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you fill us with your spirit in a way that it's you walking instead of us, and move out all of the other stuff. And we pray and we ask that in the name of Jesus for all my brothers and sisters too, Lord. I want nothing but you, Lord. That's all I want. I want nothing but you. Thank you, Father, for doing that for us, because I know you will, to those who run after you, Lord. Help us to get rid of the things that distract us from doing that. So many things out there to distract us, Lord. Give us the boldness to say no to those things that distract us, and yes to the times alone with you. And I thank you for doing that, Father. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. Ooh, glory to God. I'll tell you what, that's an awesome thing to feel that closeness to God. We all had a little taste of it here and there. But my, my, my. God's going to do it in a mighty way. Yeah, Missy.
After the end of your prayer and what you're saying there, this chorus of this song came to me, and I'd like to sing it.
Okay, go ahead.
All I ever need is Jesus. All I want to sing is his name. All my heart belongs to Jesus. And by his grace and mercy, I'm saved. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I'd sing one too, but I'd scare everybody off. I'm saying. Praise God. All right, anybody got anything they want to comment on or pray about?
Michael, you can go ahead and sing. We're learning not to be scared easily.
Oh, my goodness. Help me, Jesus. No, I'm not going to sing. I wouldn't do that to you. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Well, I was thinking of singing a song myself, except I'm on the phone, so it doesn't sound very good.
Go ahead.
Very short. Sorry, guys. I have a real hot voice. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. 'Cause Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
I know that song. Praise God. That's good, Malcolm. That's a platinum if I ever heard one. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Claire.
I have a little testimony. I didn't have any real struggles with judgment or criticism with my parents. Like, I just loved them, and I know that was the Lord. But on Friday last week, I had a dream that I was in this boat, and it was really tumultuous. And the Lord said to me, it's 4.5 weeks. And I was like, oh, what does that mean? Because my parents are leaving on Sunday. Like, it's 4 weeks to the day, you know. So I said to her, and I think we're going to have a trial when we get back home. Like, the trial of faith of whatever it is going to continue. And it did. We had various little things this week that came up. And what I noticed probably from Tuesday afternoon, because it's Friday here already, I just kept on getting these thoughts of judgment and criticism in my head towards people, but not for any specific reason, do you know what I mean? And not towards my parents or anything. And I was like, this is just so irritating. And I kept on failing because I kept on entertaining the thoughts and then speaking the thoughts and then failing and repenting and failing and repenting. And then yesterday I said to Rian, this is, there's something wrong here. Like, it's just not, it's not right. I know I'm at odds. And I went and spent some time with the Lord in prayer. And the word he gave me was such a good rebuke. He said to me, it's not even you, Judah, I will do it. I will raise you up for my glory. I'm like, you're going to have to, because I'm pretty wretched. Like, it's not for me. Like, it's for you. And we continued praying. And then we listened to David's teaching last night. And he read one of my dreams, which is that little one with the snake and the mortar. And, you know, when I got that dream, I was like, what is the pride of life? Like, what is that actually? What is the pride of life? I know what pride is. I know what spiritual pride is. But what is that term, the pride of life? And I've kept on asking the Lord about it. And anyway, so when we finished with David's teaching last night, we said to Rian, well, we got to go to the mattresses. So we, you know, lay down and I put my head covering on and started praying. And the Lord showed me that I just need to rebuke these little things, this judgment and criticism, like it has to go. And I think I have shared, and I'm very gracious, that the Lord has more times than not given me a vision commensurate to whatever we're casting out. And some of you might think, well, that's easy, then you don't need to have faith, but you probably need to have faith for the vision too, right? So it's just however the Lord works. Anyway, so I was praying and I was casting judgment and criticism out, and I saw these little worms, these two little worms that were next to me. They weren't in me. Normally when I cast things out, they're in me, but it was just next to me. And they were so pathetic and pitiful, and they were screeching, these little worms. And then my angel took them, rolled them into a little ball and just knocked them out, you know, like a baseball game. I've never watched a baseball game, so I assume that's what it's like. And I've seen it on movies and stuff, you know. And I was like, okay. And then I sit around and I reckon it's gone, but I still don't think that's the pride of life. And I got a word to confirm that those were gone, and praise the Lord for that. This wonderful deliverance, wonderful healing. And as soon as I went to bed, I just kept on getting these thoughts, but then I could recognize them as not my own thoughts. They're not my own thoughts. And I kept on casting them down, kept on casting them down. And eventually I felt this thing in my throat. And I was like, oh, what is that? And we'd gone to bed like before 9. So I think it was sometime after 10. I gently woke around up. I'm like, you're going to have to come and help me. And I just felt this need to dry heave. And I went to the bathroom and I didn't vomit or anything. I just was, I don't know, we were just in the bathroom and he put his hand on me. He prayed for me. And I didn't see this thing go, but I felt a release, prayed for the pride of life to leave me. And then he said to me, you have to have faith that it's gone. And I was like, yes, even if I don't see anything, it's gone. Like, I know it's gone because you've prayed for me. Went to bed and the whole night felt like my head was going to explode with all these accusations from the enemy, like in my dreams, the whole night, like the whole night long. And I just kept on rebuking it. It felt like forever, that I felt like dawn was never going to come. And then when I woke up, Rian was already awake and he said to me, I had a vision, which is rare. And I was like, what? It's like, yeah, that thing left you. And I'm like, really? And he said, yes, it's this ugly, bald little man. And it was coming for me and I just rebuked it and it left. And I was so grateful. And then he said to me, what? I think it's your parents. He said, it's your parents. And I was like, okay. And then he went to work and I sat with my Bible open and I said to the Lord, is it like, what is this pride of life thing? Like, what is it? And look, if there are people more prideful than my parents, like I can see the spirits in them. I'm not saying it's not them, but it was just hard for me to accept. And I opened the Bible on Jeremiah where he says, I have just declared to you, but you will not believe. And I was like, okay, I agree that it's my parents, but I have to agree that I am not of theirs. And I just was quiet in my spirit and I heard him say to me, you are mine. You are not theirs. I have trained you. They have not trained you. I have loved you. They have not loved you. Then I opened the Bible on Micah, I think it's 4:12, and where he says he's going to train up his bride, you know, the warrior bride that we've all been learning about and reading about. And I was just so grateful. So the deliverance is not only criticism and judgment, but the pride of life, which I think now is that emotional tie to the parents, that feeling of needing to do things to honor them or to look for their, what would you say, like their approval. And I just rebuked that and I didn't look for it and I really didn't receive it anyway this whole time that they were here. But I wasn't looking for it because I kept on telling myself I'm a child of the Lord. And so I just think it was a beautiful confirmation and I'm really grateful that I can share this with you and I hope it makes sense and I hope you see that the joy that I have for the Lord, who is so good to continue the trial so that we can get not only the physical stuff gone, but also the spiritual stuff gone. And praise be to him for cleansing me. I'm so grateful. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Good testimony. David wanted me to announce this. Send testimonies in connected to the words given through the angels or the word of the Lord or because they were inspired by other testimonies connected to that. They're going to use them in a book. So send your testimonies in that you had. And one other thing, David and Andrew, if you'll wait just a moment, I want to pray for Casey. Father, I lift up Casey to you. I come against the witchcraft curses that have been spoken against him, that have may have confused his mind. I rebuke you. I bind you up and cast you out of him in the name of Jesus. Lord, we send your angels right now to Casey and to surround about him in a protective covering that nothing or anything could penetrate. And I thank you, Lord, for clarity of mind, clarity of thought. And Lord, I thank you that he'll be able to do his job efficiently and quickly. And I thank you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. I consider it as done, angels. And I thank you, Lord, for getting them over there doing the job for Casey. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. And when y'all think about it in your prayer time, just remember Casey and keep praying for him. He's a good man. He's been doing us a great work. Okay, David, go ahead.
I actually have a testimony that happened today. Well, I actually have a lot of testimonies, but we'll just say the one that happened recently. So I was at work, and I'm a semi-truck mechanic. And whenever it comes to taking wheels off, they could get really stuck. And I struggled with the first set of wheels, and then I struggled with the second set. And the next set, I was like, I thank you, Lord, it's going to be coming, it's going to pop right off. And I get to it, and it didn't come off easy. I was like, no, you're coming off right now. And one light tap with the hammer, that thing popped right off. And I'm like, well, thank you, Lord. I was like, if that's not showing me that Jesus is here, I don't know what is.
Yeah, we got to keep them angels working. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. All right. Go ahead, Andrew. Or Ben.
I got a testimony as well. I'm an HVAC technician, and I was at work, and I was installing some ventilation system. And it's really interesting. I needed a certain tool to finish the job, and I wear a pouch whenever I'm working. And it's not in the pouch that I have that little pocket that I have that tool in. And I'm like, where is this thing? I'm almost done my job. I want this so I can go home. And I'm checking all the pockets. And I'm standing there for like 10 minutes, doing the whole pat down. And then I'm like, okay, I need Jesus here. So I pray in the name of Jesus that I'm going to find this little thing. And then I prayed and I did it. And I didn't find it right away. I'm walking all around the area looking for this one thing, even in rooms I wasn't standing in. And then I'm like, I started to doubt. And I was like, no, I already prayed. And Jesus, I'm going to find this. And it's in the pocket that I looked in already 10 times. And I just go into that pocket and I'm just like, thank you, Jesus. Just walking back to my spot. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I finished my job. And
amen.
It was so cool. It was in the pocket that I looked in. And glory to God.
Yeah. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. All right, Missy. Good testimony. Write it up. Send it in.
An angel put it there, Ben. An angel put it there. You know, I just thought of a prayer request. I got in Merle and I got in a RAV to go somewhere yesterday, and I turned the AC on and the air wasn't coming out very much, and it sounded funny. I knew it was like what's going on, and I'm like, what? And I was commanding it, you know, to do what it's supposed to do, and the thought came to me was the cabin filter. So I pulled the glove box out and looked and pulled out the cabin filter. We put one in a couple weeks ago or more. And here it was soaking wet. And I started feeling on the floor, and it was wet down there. And I know my floor got wet. I think it was when I was there back in March, and I couldn't figure out why. I thought maybe somebody's, you know, spilled water or whatever. And, you know, and so anyway, here I realized somehow water's leaking in because I had the RAV sitting outside. And I think it was because of having a hard rain or something. Anyway, so I want you all to believe with me that the angels are going to go and seal up, fix whatever that problem is, that issue is, as to why it's not that. Because I know it's not that day, because I had water coming out from underneath from the AC. So I know that's not clogged. So whatever it is, I just command the angels to go and fix it, seal it up, no more leaks, no more water. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We thank you, Lord, that AC is fixed. And I want to pray for Isaac's AC too, that motor of his.
It's not the AC. It's just water leaking in through my air filter and in the floor on the passenger side.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well, Lord, fix it, whatever it is. We thank you for it.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for your angels with their overalls on down there fixing it right now.
Thank you,
Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I still want to pray for Isaiah's air conditioner motor, blower motor, in the name of Jesus right now. I command that motor bearings to be replaced. Lord, you can do it. You can do all things. And I believe it's done. I thank you, Father, that you've got your HVAC angel right down there on it right now in Jesus' name. And he's down there, already fixed it. And Isaiah's going to go out there in the morning and find that it's all fixed. He didn't have to do anything but just praise God for it. And we praise you, Lord, that it is done. Amen. Amen. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Geneva.
I just want to say a quick little prayer, if you all will believe with me, for Micah, just she sleeps more through the night. Like, she does a pretty good job. She'll sleep, like, the first few hours. But usually during that time is when, you know, I'm on the ministry or I'm trying to clean up or, you know, figure out what I got to do for work the next day and then finally get myself, like, ready for bed. And then by that time, I only have like an hour or two for sleep. And then she kind of wakes up and goes to sleep, wakes up, goes to sleep. So it's by the time I wake up in time for work, I'm just like exhausted. And so anyways, I feel like today I had to pray and ask the Lord to help me not complain, you know, because I don't want a complaining spirit. I'm thankful for, you know, I'm thankful and I'm content with my situation. I know that God is still going to bless me with what he has in store. You know, believing that to be a stay-at-home mama and, you know, that Morgan gets an amazing job in Jesus' name. So still believing for those. But in the meantime, I'm going to be thankful for what I got. So if you all just believe with me, Lord, thank you, Father, that Micah is well rested, Lord, and that she is going to sleep. And I know that a lot of parents go through this, Father, with their babies, but Lord, I just thank you that the UBM babies, Father, that they all sleep so well and are such sound sleepers and have precious little dreams about you, Father, and about heaven. And that, Lord, you keep them nice and cozy in their beds, and God, you allow the parents to be well rested, Father. And I just thank you, God, that that you've blessed me and you've blessed our situation. And Lord, I just know that, Father, you are going to make everything perfect. And Lord, it is perfect in Jesus' name. And I just thank you, Father. I thank you for this precious little girl and for her sweet little ways. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. I believe it. Go ahead, Missy.
I like to pray too. Father, I just praise you and thank you for little Micah and Geneva and Morgan, and praise you that they are great parents, loving parents, and they take care of her well. And I just command Micah to get on a schedule where when she goes When Geneva goes to bed for the night, that's when Micah goes to bed and she sleeps the whole way through. In Jesus' name, that you just rearrange her sleeping patterns, Lord, and that she is regulated to Geneva's schedule, sleep schedule. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for doing that. Amen.
Amen. Lord, I believe you will. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Geneva and Morgan. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe it's done. Go ahead, Donna.
I just want to say I was so blessed with that YouTube. It was just such a blessing. It just blessed me so much. And I would like if you would lead a prayer that we could pray for service tomorrow, that the anointing of God will be there like it was last time, and that everybody will be blessed.
Okay.
Okay.
Father, yeah. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as always, I thank you, Father, that all my brothers and sisters are going to be there at the fellowship. In one accord, we have one thing on our mind, and that's praising and worshiping you, Lord.
Yes,
and I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that it's going to, that the Holy Spirit will be there. Yes, and not only there, but all the people that are watching out there, where it's going. And I praise you, Father, that
Jesus.
It's going to be a blessing for everybody because you're going to show up and do things that would glorify the body, encourage the body. And I praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, let these praise and worship times be a sweet smell into your nostrils, Lord.
Amen.
And we praise you for it. Thank you for it, Father.
Yes, Jesus.
And we thank you, Lord, that your angels will be joining in with us and make it even that much more better in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that we're not going to have any hiccups tomorrow night at all. That it's going to be dreaming, and it's going to be awesome. And Lord, thank you for doing that. Lord, we just ask right now that you point out a building for us that will house all of us in it very comfortably as a meeting hall, and just until we can get a hold of the big stuff. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God, glory to God. That building's out there, and we just need to run into it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yep. Don't miss tomorrow night because we prayed and it's going to happen. Go ahead, David. We got the Russians coming up here.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm so glad.
Oh, yeah. We're coming up there next Monday and we're leaving on Sunday. So we're going to be there for 6 days.
Oh, my goodness. That's a week after next, right?
Yep. For the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. And Phil will already be here. He's supposed to be here Sunday.
Yep.
Your Lord. My goodness. It's going to be an awesome time. Yeah, we got to find a bigger place. Goodness sake. Now, we're going to have pot busting up there with y'all.
Oh, I'm excited. When I heard about that, I was so excited.
Well, you were there for the last one up there, weren't you?
Yeah, you were there. We were at Chuck's house. Last pod blessing, we were there. It was Chuck's house.
Yeah.
Yeah, but right. I wanted to share something the Lord opened up to me and corrected me in. I would always look at those people who actually have money and be like, man, it would be nice to have money. And today, Lord showed me, he's like, I'm not going to mention who, but he's like, oh, look at this person. They have a lot of money, but they gorge in the world. They buy all the things they want. They have no love for me. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. And I'd like to say a prayer. Lord, Father, Lord, forgive me for looking towards material things, thinking that it would be nicer to have nicer things. But Lord, forgive me that my my thoughts would wander that far, Lord, because there's nothing nicer than your love, than this closeness we have with you, Father. And the things you've given us, Father, are way better than anything we could ever ask for. Lord, I thank you for your grace and your corrections that you're doing in me and other people, Father. Lord, continue to correct us so we could be clean in your body, so we could be the perfect bride you need. Lord, and we thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for showing David that and all of us, actually. That's all we have. That's all we need. Yeah. If we got Christ, we got it all. All right. Anyone else? Amen. All right. Well, we'll take off where we left off the other night. In this tongue conquers a curse. Now, we just got through talking about Joshua. And how he commanded the sun and the moon to stand still until the war was won. The battle was won. And David says, think about this. Excuse me. At first, I thought God just stopped the earth from spinning. But I later realized that the moon stayed in the same relative position as the sun and earth didn't, as the sun and earth didn't spin. But the whole solar system has stopped. This is a very dangerous thing to do unless you also control the rest of the universe. Things would tend toward collision down the road somewhere. Can you imagine that God stopped the solar system and more just so Israel could conquer their enemy? What kind of other big miracle can you imagine that God would do for us to give us victory over our enemy? God gave the Israelites an awesome victory over their enemies. Of course, they needed the time, and for a whole day, the system was frozen. That would be awesome. That kind of power to be able to stop the whole solar system just so you could win a battle. That's how much God loves us. Golly. Can you imagine God sitting up there on the throne when Joshua did that? Y'all see what my boy is doing down yonder? I can hear him now. Y'all stop this. Universe, stop. Right now, stop. All right, Joshua, go on. Win your little battle there. I can imagine it. I can imagine God doing that. Because that's my boy, Joshua. Glory to God, he can do the same thing to us. People claim that God only did that back then and does not do that today simply because of the verse right after it, verse 14. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And David said, well, the Lord still hearkens unto our voice. For many people speak miracles today, and they come to pass as they did in the Bible long after Joshua. But I want to point out that he that is but little in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he, Matthew 11:11. This is speaking about John the Baptist, whom the Lord said was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. In the Old Testament, his people hadn't entered into the kingdom yet. And by the way, who is it living in us? Is it God or man? It is Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. Who was Christ? He was the Word made flesh, John 1:14, and he is still in his body. He also said, the words that I have spoken unto you are spirit and are life, John 6:63. meaning they are his spirit and his life. In other words, it's the life of God living in us. It's the spiritual man who speaks in agreement with the word of God. Also remember that it is the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, Ephesians 6:17. Therefore, it's not as if God is hearkening unto the voice of a man, but he's hearkening unto the voice of his sons. That spiritual man in us is not man, but God. The Son of God is manifesting in his people, and he speaks words out of us. When we come in agreement with the word, we can be trusted. And the Lord said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will and shall be done unto you. John 15:7. Why? Well, the word in you is trustworthy to God. If you fill yourself up with the word and you desire earnestly to walk in agreement with it, God says you're trustworthy. Praise God. Glory to God. He trusts us to utilize that word in a way that would help mankind and ourselves. Anybody got any comments or anything they'd like to say? Okay. A long time after Joshua, the Lord wrote this in Isaiah 45:11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of the things that are to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hand. Command ye me. Does God really do that? When you command something to be done, like when his disciples commanded healings, deliverances, provisions, and so on, who is it who fulfilled that? It was God. It wasn't their power, but the authority they had been given by God. And authority is the right to use power. Authority is also what we do when we speak in agreement with the word of God, and God brings it to pass. In effect, what we're doing is commanding God, since he said that if we do, he'll do it. Jesus said the same thing. Ooh, my. We got the same authority as Jesus had when he was on earth, and he did all kinds of miracles. He told us that. He said, y'all going to do the same thing I did. Then he backed up and said, you're going to do greater things. Lord, our God. Anybody got any questions or comments? To whom did God give the power over the work of his hand? Psalm 8 was spoken concerning natural Adam and his seed, but also in type to spiritual Adam, Jesus Christ, and his seed. Psalm 8:6 says, thou makest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet. And as David used to say on his radio program from Pensacola, well, what does all leave out? It don't leave nothing out. This was said of man and the Son of Man. Jesus said that God had given him authority because he is Son of Man, John 5:27. Man was given authority on the earth, but we lost it through Adam because he sinned. However, we gained it back through Jesus Christ because he was faithful. And once again, we have been given this authority over the works of God's hand. And when we speak in agreement with the word of God, God fulfills it. Maybe it's not the same situation as it was with Joshua in the natural, but God still fulfills the word of God and has put everything under our feet. Lamentations 3:37 said, who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Even the devil has no sovereign authority. He's got to get permission, as we see in the book of Job. And to reiterate the point, Joshua exercised dominion and authority given from God, even to the extent that the solar system was frozen in place so God's people could conquer their enemy. I'm trying to sneeze here, but I ain't going to, in Jesus' name. Amen. So can anybody think of anything that they need to do that's any greater than stopping the solar system so that you can win a little battle there? And I think the Lord is telling us right here, don't put God in the box. You put him in the box, you're limiting him. He can do anything. Look, if God put this whole universe, everything that you can see, or as far as you can see, here for one thing, and that was for us. And he'll move it out of the way if he has to. Go ahead, Judy.
Would that be like God stopping time in a sense? Because when you stop the solar system and how everything is, is timing. It's like he stopped time for that to happen. And then I was thinking about, didn't he with Hezekiah, wasn't that a sign for him that he was going to heal him and give him the victory, Israel the victory, when he set the dial back on the sundial, like 10 steps or something, yeah. Which was, again, impossible.
Well,
but you know what I mean? Like yeah, stopping. He would stop time.
Yeah. Well, he did. He stopped the sun. And that's what, we get God's assist to us in our natural looking.
Right. Pretty neat.
God can do anything. Yeah, he can stop. He can stop the sun. Keep the sun shining while you go ahead and make your little battle there. Go ahead and win your little battle there, Joshua. I'll hold the sun up here for you. I'll hold a spotlight up here for you. That is awesome. What that tells me is God can do anything. When he talks about the mountain moving into the sea, if you pray with faith, how many of you believe you can do that? Amen. I can't do it, but God can, because I believe he can do anything. Praise God. The most astounding thing, just think about the most astounding thing that you've seen God do since you've been a Christian in your life. And just think that that's nothing. That's nothing. I've seen crippled children healed. That's nothing to what he's fixing to see. I've seen deaf ears open. Y'all have to. I've seen dead people come back to life over the telephone, for goodness sake. Don't even have to lay hands on them. All you got to do is speak the word. Oh, my goodness. The next thing we see in Joshua is that they went after the five kings who were ruling the promised land. Joshua 10 and 16, and these five kings fled and hid themselves in the cave at Makeda. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hidden in the cave at Makeda. And Joshua said, roll great stones onto the mouth of the cave and set men by it to keep them. But stay not ye, pursue after your enemies and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. And the first thing they did was trap the five kings in the cave. And then they rolled great stones over the mouth of the cave. Remember that Adam was created from the dust of the earth, Genesis 2 and 7. And this old man is earthly, but as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also hear the image of the heavenly. 1 Corinthians 15:49. We are both earthly and heavenly. A spiritual man of the heavens and the carnal man of the earth. And the carnal man of the earth has a mouth, and here is called the mouth of the cave. The Lord made the spiritual men roll these great stones over the mouth of the cave. Well, what's the purpose of that? Well, the five keys represent the five senses, and the spiritual man puts stones, that represents the word, over the mouth, so the carnal senses are not permitted to speak. It's a good parable there. Thank you, Father. Now, let me explain further, David says. The Bible says that senses must be exercised by the word of God so that we understand the difference between good and evil. Hebrews 5:13, for everyone that partakes of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for full grown men, even those who by reason of youth have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. As born again people, we must have born again senses. As spiritual men, we must have spiritual senses. Our carnal senses trapped us and ruled over us and our land because people lived according to their carnal senses, and they saw and felt and heard as the world did. They couldn't walk by faith or see the end from the beginning, as God is teaching us to do. 2 Peter 1:3 says, seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. Can you see that God has already provided you everything that pertains unto life and godliness? You don't have to fight and struggle for it anymore. Now you have the eyes of a dove, Song of Solomon 1:15. You have the eyes of the Spirit when you begin to see that the promise is true, but the world is transitory. It's passing away, but the promise is true. Verse 4, whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises. That's the stones at the mouth of the cave. That through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. And so if we have eyes to see, we can partake of God's nature. We will have spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, spiritual touch, spiritual smell or discernment, spiritual taste and words. And we will have those spiritual gifts that enable the spiritual man to take over. The Israelites had captured the five kings who ruled the promised land in a cave. They closed up the mouth with great stones. And as you know, Jesus is the stone. He's the rock, which is the word of God. These great stones represent the great promises of the word of God. We're adding learning to our lips, which are the mouth of the cave. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody got any comments? Something they'd like to share. Yeah, Joe.
Actually got a question. I kind of got an idea of the other four, but the fifth one, the spiritual senses, as it said, where you just finished up there, trying to get an understanding of spiritual taste spiritual taste. What exactly would you say that is? Or what verses speak of that, you know? That's not quite clear to me. So.
Anybody want to answer that?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Julie.
If you could look at it as it's all the word of God. So there's a lot of scriptures about, you know, like, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
And also it's like, you know, the words are like honeycomb, you know, sweet words, sweet water, how they taste, you know, it's anything that would edify, that would encourage, mm-hmm. right? Okay. That they taste good and they help somebody else, you know, as opposed to speaking bad words, you know, cursing somebody, you speak words, you bless somebody, it tastes, mm-hmm. tastes good. Like the tongue is the tree of, you know, the tree of life, the fruit. Mm-hmm. That's how I see it.
Okay.
Makes sense. Okay. Thanks.
That's good. All right. Anybody else? When we study the Word of God, we learn and see what we are supposed to say and what we're not supposed to say. The Word of God gives us restraint to not say things that would permit a curse upon our life. the Israelites knew that to conquer the promised land, they had to conquer these senses first. These kings that ruled over the carnal man and bring the curse upon it. And this is what the parable points to, rolling out those stones in front of the mouth. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying or building up, as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear. If we see and walk in the Spirit, then we speak in agreement with the Spirit, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We have the power to change our nature, and this is accomplished by the Word of God. As long as you agree with the world and you see your natural face in the mirror, you're never going to be any different. But we need to behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord so we can be changed into that same image. 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. If we have eyes to see only in the natural, then we are not going to conquer the curse for the kingdom. Anybody got any questions on that? When we see a need, such as someone living under the curse, we should speak things that answer the need. What we speak should give God's people grace to overcome, grace to meet that need, whatever it may be. And when we speak according to the kingdom, we are meeting someone's need for God and his benefits. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name, that's nature, character, and authority, of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do it as if you are representing him, because you're an ambassador of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:20, so to speak his words to this world. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to confess him before men always and to speak in his name, nature, character, and authority. 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speaketh, speaking as if were oracles of God. If any man ministereth, ministering as of the strength which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, who is the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. When we speak as an oracle of God, that's his word coming out of us, we're letting him do the speaking. We're letting the spiritual man who is in communication with God through our spirit do the speaking. We're not to let the carnal man who is in communication with the world through the flesh do the speaking. Anybody got a question or an answer or a comment? Well, y'all are awful quiet tonight. As Paul said, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear. Ephesians 4:29. This is what it means to roll the stones in front of the cave's mouth. A lady we knew constantly fell back into the same old problems because she would never agree with the word of God. She would never speak the things that are not as though they were, and she would just never walk by faith. So my wife had a dream one night that she was in a room on a bunk bed with this lady. My wife was on the top bunk, and this lady was on the bottom bunk. She heard this lady speaking all these negative things. Just don't know if I can make it. I can't overcome this. I can't. And on, these problems were coming out of her mouth. She was speaking the things that are instead of the things that are not. My wife peeked over the side of the bunk and said, that's not what the Word of God said. And then she continued on to quote the Word. My wife said she knew the place that she was in was called holiness. She knew that unless you agreed with the Word of God, you couldn't abide in this place called holiness. So she began to correct this woman, who then said, I just don't know if I can stay here. And then she was gone. That happened in the physical too. She had left us. You know, I've noticed through the years, a lot of worldly people are very negative, and they speak things against themselves, their families, and the people around them. And that's what God's talking about here. You speak blessings. He wants us to speak blessings rather than curses upon people. Yeah, Andrew, or Ben.
Yeah, I was. It just came to me when you were reading that that this woman didn't know that she was promised something from the Lord. The Lord said, you shall be holy because I am holy. And even in the book of Peter, one of Peter's letters, it says, he that calleth you is holy, so be therefore holy in all your behavior. And I even think the quotation from Jesus, you shall be holy because I'm holy, is in that same place from the church father Peter. So, you know, I don't think she knew that she should have that. You know, she should have the Holy Spirit gifts of Galatians 5:22 and to obey that. That's kind of weird what happened there. That's just, you know, maybe she just had a severe lack of knowledge or something. I don't know. You should want to be holy. You should want that promise from God. Anyways, it has to come. We can't do it, you know. I just really like chapters 36 and 37 of Ezekiel on how that's going to all come to pass for us. It's a really good read. And I remember in one of the messages he gives I had it downloaded somewhere. it's from YouTube. I got it. I just downloaded it. I must have listened to it. Praise God.
Amen. All right. To walk holy is to walk separate. And the Greek word for holy is the same word for sanctified, and it means separate. That is, separated from the world, separated from sin, separated unto God. We speak His words. We think His thoughts. And we do His works because He lives in us. And the more we do that, the more we grow in holiness. It's the place of holiness. Without holiness, no man can see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. Holiness is what we grow in when we bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. It is separation from the old man who is moved and ruled by the carnal senses unto the new man who is ruled according to the spiritual senses. Isaiah 11:2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eye, neither decide after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. and righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. When we are to be walking in the Lord's steps, if we abide in him, 1 John 2, 5 and 6, Isaiah is speaking here about the branch, which is being raised up in our day called the man-child. This is Christ in his first fruits in the end time. And we're not to walk according to our carnal senses, because he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither decide after the hearing of his ears. Instead, we are to have our senses exercised to discern good from evil. Hebrews 5 and 14. We are to have our senses exercised by the word of God, which is the washing of water with the word. As our senses are exercised, we begin to see and hear spiritually. We begin to hear and speak the voice of the Spirit. Excuse me. Sorry. Anybody got any questions about walking in the Spirit? Is everybody walking in the Spirit? Amen. It's similar to when David went to slay Goliath, the giant in the land. He went to the brook and pulled out those five smooth stones that were exercised by the washing of the water, which represents the word. And he took only one of those stones and he felled Goliath, 1 Samuel 17. David spoke it to him ahead of time, declaring that he's going to take his head off and feed him to the birds. And that was very bold. And because David spoke it, that's exactly what he did. The stone or sense that David was using was the tongue. The tongue senses taste, but it also speaks the word. We assimilate things from our five senses into our mind, and in turn, we speak them out of our mouth. It's different with the world because they assimilate the things that are, but the Lord says that he has chosen the things that are not, that he may bring to nothing the things that are, 1 Corinthians 1:28. He wants to change the things of this world by calling the things that are not as though they were, Romans 4:17. So we must have spiritual senses in order to see things the way God sees things and to hear things the way God speaks them. We have to be like David, who conquered Goliath because he had spiritual senses. David saw what those other men could not see, which is why they wouldn't dare step out in front of that giant. They were afraid because they didn't have the word of God in their thoughts and coming out of their mouth. David conquered Goliath because the Son of God was spiritually living in him through the word. That is a good parable for how we should act, just like he did in front of that great big giant. That little teenage boy spoke, he said, "This day I'm going to take your head off your shoulder, boy." That's just a little old punk kid, you'd say, but he knew who was behind him, in front of him, and on both sides of him. And all he had to do was loose that rock, and the angel would take over. And that's where we ought to be, you know, trusting God to do whatever it is that we declare in our mouth. That's why it's imperative that we don't speak curses on ourselves and our family. Well, I sure don't feel good today. Man, I don't know if I can make it through this day. Oh, my head's splitting wide open. You know, it's just little stuff like that that we say every day that curses us. I just don't think I'm going to get along with this guy over here today. You know, why don't you speak just the opposite? Bless God, I feel so good today. I got a smile on my face and a skip in my walk. Bless God, and everybody gets around me is going to be blessed. I'm coming into a blessing. I'm leaving a blessing. Somebody asks you how you doing. I'm blessed beyond my wildest dreams. And guess what? You will be. How many times I've heard people say, I'd ask them, how are you doing? Well, you ain't got time, brother. You just ain't got time. I'll tell you, bud, No, I didn't want a history. I just want to know how you're doing right now. Oh, let's see. As our senses are exercised, we begin to see and hear spiritually. We begin to hear and speak the voice of the Spirit. And that's similar to when David went to slay Goliath. Did I read that? Am I done at the bottom?
Michael, yeah. I think you starting at, now we can return to Joshua.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew that. I'm just testing y'all. Amen. Now we can return to Joshua. He told the Israelites to go after their enemies. Since the five kings were already trapped in the cave, they couldn't command their subjects from there because the mouth of the cave was closed off with the stones. And now the Israelites were able to conquer those whom the kings had ruled over. And if you don't stop those kings from speaking, you'll never be able to conquer those that they rule over, the carnal man. Joshua 10:20. And it came to pass when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, and the remnant which remained of them had entered into the fortified city. Thus all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makeda in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring forth these five kings unto me out of the cave. They did so and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon. And it came to pass when they brought forth those kings unto Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the chiefs of the men of war that went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near, put their feet upon the necks of them. David says they let them out of the cave and they had to keep them from speaking, so they put their feet on their necks. It reminds me of the dream I shared with you in chapter 4 about being in a war with a giant and not letting the old man speak. When he did, he said, bigger, bigger, bigger. We have a lot of giants around us and a lot of big problems and a lot of big enemies. We can't let the old man, whom I captured in the dream and who was in bondage to me, speak out of our mouth. I've been ruling over him for many years, but it used to be the other way around. He was ruling over me. I didn't want to let him speak because the old man has the authority to make the situation worse and make the enemy stronger and bigger. But I refused him and demanded that the giant be reduced, saying, no, smaller, 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 smaller. So the giant that I saw ahead of us standing before us was not able to conquer me, because I corrected the old man. Similarly, the Israelites put their feet on the king's neck, causing the five senses to not speak or to rule over the body. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do all to all of your enemies against whom you fight. And afterward, Joshua smote them and put them to death and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. Notice that all of our enemies will be conquered in this way. Amen. Anybody doubt that? Raise your hand. You raising your hand, David? Okay, I know you would. Yeah. Okay, Jesus Christ was hanged upon a tree, a cross, and they wanted to take him down before evening too. Jesus also was buried in a cave. So why is God applying this to the senses of the old man? We were crucified with Christ in Galatians 2 and 20, and that includes our five senses. We too often get caught up in the idea that I have to conquer my senses. I have to conquer this tongue. Well, you're putting all the responsibility upon yourself instead of remembering that the Lord has already taken care of this problem. He was crucified on that tree, and you were crucified with Christ, and you don't live any longer, but Christ lives in you. Galatians 2 and 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And remember that your old senses were crucified with Christ. You have been given this gift of the new man. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hebrews 10 and 14. This gift comes along with these new spiritual senses. We walk in the spirit according to these divine senses, the senses that are attuned to the kingdom of heaven, the senses that we see how to walk in the kingdom instead of how to walk in the world. It comes quite naturally to us to walk in the world, but it comes supernaturally to us to walk in the kingdom. That is to have our senses exercised by the word of God to see and hear the way God sees and hears, and to smell or discern the way God does. It is also to have our emotions in communication with God. Any questions or comments? Joshua 10:27, and it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave where they had hidden themselves, and laid great stones on the mouth of the cave unto this very day. So why cover the kings now? Well, the old man is still in the inside, but he's dead now, and that's the whole point. We're to come to the place that we don't let that old man speak ever again. If you let him speak, let him live, let him come down off that cross, he will continue to live, to grow, and to rule your life. And you need to remember that the Lord has crucified him, including his senses. God has already taken care of this, and we get to rejoice in the victory that has been given to us already. And the victory is that the old man and his senses are dead, and the new man, who is Jesus Christ, lives in you. And because of your faith and speaking that faith, God will bring it to pass. It's not that we're able to do so by our own power and ingenuity. The old man is not going to put the old man to death. It's through faith and not by works. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. We really can't help ourselves, but we know someone who can. We know we can turn to the Lord who gave this life for us. And we also know that he has given us these spiritual senses, and we can claim them by faith. We claim that God has given us a new tongue and a new life, that by one offering, he has perfected us, Hebrews 10 and 14. I accept your perfection, Lord, and I accept that Jesus lives in me, and I accept that you will put a watch upon my lip, and you will not let anything go forth out of my lips that is not in agreement with your word. He tells us to do just that, Psalms 14 and 13. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice deeds of wickedness. But men that work in iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Amen. Me too, Lord. Okay, has anybody got any questions over all of that? I'm not going to go into the testimony there. Yeah, Isaac.
Do y'all see the next, I got the book here. Do y'all see the next testimony, what it says? You do?
He's talking about the AC?
Yeah, God fixes air conditioners. I didn't see that, but I've never seen this. And I mean, that's for me, ain't it? That's got to be.
That's for you, brother. You got it. We've already prayed for it. That motor's here.
I believe it, man.
Amen. You go out, that thing will be purring like a kitten.
I receive it.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. All right. Anybody else?
I was literally just thinking about how he's doing over it.
What's that, Isaac?
Oh, I was sitting there thinking about the AC unit and, just kind of stewing over it, thinking about, you know, I'll just be honest with you. I told the technician what the problem was today and he went there and didn't have a motor, but he charged me $150 anyways. And I thought,
what?
Yeah, he did. And I told him, I said, I told you it was the bearing. So I was kind of upset about it and I was kind of stewing in the flesh. So forgive me anyways. And then I was reading along with you guys, and then I looked over, and it's just, y'all know, it's just amazing. It's like the Lord's like, hey, Isaac, I got this, man. We've already prayed and believed. So I don't know, man. It's just, to me, that's truly remarkable right now.
Yeah. Amen. I believe your air conditioner's fixed. In fact, I know it is.
Yeah, I actually texted Geneva while y'all were talking. I said, Geneva, can y'all go out there and check it tomorrow for me? Because I believe it so much, I want him to go check it so it's done and over.
That's done, though. We have to check it. I know it's done. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Patrick.
It was kind of reading that again. It kind of put me on kind of a different track, and I noticed the patterns there. The first time I read it and listened to that this message, I see what David is getting at related to speaking forth in agreement and putting those senses, you know, taking authority over those senses and cutting them off. But what I was kind of seeing this time is, especially when you read the story of David, when he went out there, you know, and he told Goliath, you know, you come to me with swords and spears, and I come to you in the name of the Lord. And then when he picked up this one of these stones, it was interesting that when he slang it right into the slung. Well, he threw it and it hit Goliath right in his mind. And it's like he spoke that word and he, I don't know the significance of it maybe, but it's significant that it hit his mind, didn't hit his heart or didn't hit him in the eye or something like that, but it hit his mind. And of course, failed the giant. And then the circumstances after that was then the children of Israel or the armies of Israel went and conquered their foes. So it was a reaction or a pattern. It created something in others. And then when you look at the story, that he's actually talking about in Joshua there, it's significant that the first thing they did is they took the kings, and this is something that I just caught this time through when David mentioned, they took the kings and threw them in the cave so that they didn't have any ability to command or to give commands to their followers. And I'm looking at this as a pattern or a type or something to at least to be considered as far as evangelism or speaking to others or and how the five kings of their senses, those people that may be listening, that they have to be, those five senses have to be taken and isolated and put and separated from those hearers. And before there's the ability to conquer or to, again, I'm thinking these kind of spitballing here, but I'm thinking in this of terms of evangelism or revival or whatever. But then when they conquered their enemies, oh, my ears are going. Oh, that's because it's late. When they conquered their enemies, then they brought their people back, and they told them to pull those kings out of there, and then he told them to put their feet or take authority over those kings and put their feet on their neck. And then, after that authority, then Jesus killed those kings and hung them on the tree. And I was just thinking of the application. This was all for other people. This was for those that were being trained, the armies that were being trained and whatever. It's kind of interesting. I have to think this process through here, but it's kind of interesting. And the other thing I noticed is that it's interesting that in a funeral, then the last thing they did, of course, they pulled him off the tree and tossed him in back in the cave and covered it up. And that's almost like a funeral, meaning that you go to a funeral and you see, if it's an open casket thing, you see the dead body and you're able to psychologically process the fact that that person is dead, that they are dead. But then when you put them in the grave, you now lose sight of them and you lose remembrance of them. You don't think about them, you know, anymore, unless you go to the grave and or whatever. So there's kind of a psychological or soul connection or something that happens there. Anyway, I think I'm rambling here, but so I kind of saw it in a little bit different way. In other words, as application toward the people that you are communicating with or you're dealing with or whatever, as opposed to personally. But anyway, I yield up the floor and shut my mouth. I'll put the stone over my mouth now.
Okay. All right. Yeah, go ahead, Ariana.
Yeah, just a quick testimony concerning not only about air conditioning in this country, in England, we don't have air conditioning. It's very rare. And obviously we had a very, very hot summer. It was like over 100. One day it was 104. And it was like prolonged. And obviously we're getting very hot summers. But I've traveled the world anyway, and many countries I've been to don't have air conditioning. And last year it was very cold and I couldn't put my heating on then either. But what I found was our Heavenly Father made my home very cold. It was like a fridge when it was 104 outside, it was boiling. And in the winter, he made it very warm without me putting any heating on. So you don't even need those things. Our Heavenly Father himself can control the elements within your own home so you can survive. So that's just something wonderful and to glorify our Lord God over.
Amen. You're exactly right. I'll tell you something else. When everybody else doesn't have lights, you can have lights too.
Yes, absolutely.
Amen. Good testimony. All right, we're out of time. Lord, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you, Lord, for setting that watch before I left to speak only as an oracle of you, Lord. We only want to speak blessings, not curses. And Lord, we just ask that you fill our hearts up with you, like you did Lake and others like it. And Lord, place it in us to run after you with all of our heart, soul, and mind, Lord. And I thank you for that, in Jesus' name. Amen. And y'all be blessed, you hear?